Good evening. And welcome to the San Antonio Center for Spiritual Living. We're thrilled to have you here this evening and to not only share our experience with you, but your experience with us. And of course, your presence blesses us in every aspect of who we are. So join me, please, in an opening prayer. So in this very holy, sacred space, we open up our hearts, our minds, and the deepest part of ourselves to reflect the love that God has for us during this very mystical time of the year. Gratefully, we know that there is one life, one power, one energy, and all of it is God. God is who we are in the deepest part, and the deepest part of our heart within us. So feeling this mystical aura around us, I invite us to tap into that part of God and align and make that connection as strong as possible in order to experience more of what is here for us in life. And I declare for each of us this evening a flood of positive thoughts, an avalanche of good ideas, an overpowering radiance of excellent health, and a truckload of trust and faith, and an ever-increasing amount and avenues of great prosperity, increased business, and full success in every area of our lives. I proclaim for us that this is a time of our lives when we easily are able to step into our dreams, to attract the highest and best of what we are, and to evolve in that great next step that takes us to the place where we long to experience the very best of all that God has for us. Life is rich, and life is full of the nature of God, and I accept the magnificence of all of it for us. And so together we say, and so it truly is. Ellen is going to come up and tell us a story.
I found this reading in Science of the Mind magazine about 2 years ago, and I've sent it out with all my Christmas cards ever since, so I hope you enjoy it. It's called The Journey. Much of the world's spiritual literature depicts life as a journey. Every year during December, we are reminded of this metaphor by the biblical story of Mary and Joseph, who traveled to Bethlehem for the birth of Jesus. Our journey, like theirs, is full of unknown dangers and adventures. The necessity of finding nourishment and shelter, and the expectation of arriving at a place of refuge and joy. We too are invited to undertake a trip that promises fulfillment and satisfaction as we become receptive to the journey. Often we don't hear this call, and frequently we don't heed it. Yet something inside of us nudges us to acknowledge that we are being called to, that what we are being called to is for our highest good, because it answers the deepest longing of our heart, which is to discover ourselves. And the most wonderful aspect of this journey is not the destination, joyous as that may be, but the trip itself. Why? Because it is on this journey that we uncover our abilities. We come to understand life in all its wonders, and we get to experience others and their unfolding. What an incredible trip this is, and how privileged we are to be on it. As we contemplate the panorama of this adventure, let us give thanks for the growth of the opportunities that come to us, and the grace and the strength we feel as life unfolds daily.
Yep. Well, I was told I'm supposed to tell a funny story.
Yes.
So I will tell this story, but I have to reflect back about my childhood, being raised in a Baptist church and having to draw pictures and what have you during Christmas, and the interpretations that we as children made of the different things that were said at Christmas. So I have an idea. This was a Baptist Sunday school teacher that had her kindergarten class draw a nativity scene. And one youngster had done a very good job of drawing the baby in a manger and Mary and Joseph and the animals. But the teacher noticed with anxiety that he had also drawn a little fat man right beside the manger. And of course she asked Jimmy, says, "Jimmy, that isn't Santa Claus, is it?" And Jimmy answered indignantly and said, "Of course not. that's Round John Virgin.
So, there was once a little girl who got the part of the three shepherds in the junior church play, and she was so excited. Her line was, "I bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh for the holy child." So for a month, she practiced her line. She had it. She knew it. And on the evening of her performance, she got really nervous when she realized that there would be people in the audience. And so when her time came to go on stage, she looked out into the audience and she froze. She was nudged forward and she spoke her line with clarity and with firmness. "I bring gold, circumstance, and mud." And of course, that was probably the start of each of us experiencing gold, circumstance, and mud. And I know a lot of us have experienced that in our own lives. Eric Allenbaum tells us that every situation presents us with an opportunity to automatically react or consciously respond. It's a choice point. And the more aware we are, the more choices we have, the less aware, the fewer choices. But we choose all that we can become. So during this holiday season, it is time to again choose what we want to become. So imagine with me a life without using our hands or arms to reach for something, legs but not using them to move us forward to where we want to go, or eyes, but we don't want to see the beauty around us. In the same way, most of us only use a fraction of our power, especially our spiritual power. So tonight, this white candle is going to symbolize our spiritual power. This white candle is for symbolizing the spirit. So we use this time and we take a moment as this candle is lit and we recognize that each of us has the same qualities that Jesus had, only better and certainly probably with a more evolved state of consciousness. All of the qualities that Jesus had are God qualities, and we have them within us right now. Did you all see the one that went through the internet this week with Bon Jovi and Bing Crosby singing a duet together, and they were doing the White Christmas one? Very interesting. Don't know how they did that, but it sounded very nice. So whether the story in the Bible about Jesus is true or not, it no longer matters. What matters is our belief about what it is that happened and how we can take what he taught to apply it to our lives and move us into a greater potential or maybe even just a larger possibility. Christmas teaches us to embrace all of what we are, and we can use our shadows or our wounds to power us forward into the positive in order to increase our choices to create something good out of where we are. Now, it takes both the masculine and the feminine energies to create something new and different. Mary and Joseph represent those qualities of life for us. We have within us those same energies and, of course, those qualities. It's interesting that when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he wanted to divorce her. Can you imagine? Joseph bought her and then really didn't know what to do with the pregnant teenager. And we all do the same things. We yearn for things, we buy them, and then we wondered, what could we have been thinking? And there are times when we need to think beyond the immediate gratification and sometimes a little bit farther into the future and what it will bring us and what the consequences are. Now, Joseph had some choices to make, and he chose to make the very best of the circumstance. Rather than bemoan his fate, he used what he had and started his journey with Mary, wondering, I'm sure, what's next, or, oh, what else? So the shepherd symbolizes our time for solitude and simple pleasures. Now, most of us yearn for a time to laze back and watch the clouds form interesting patterns in green pastures, or watch the first star appear in the horizon. Now, we can stop at any time to simply experience the moment. And this moment, we can infuse it with all that meaning and purpose that we need. So this is the time for soul. So we're going to light another candle that symbolizes the soul part of us. And if some of you are wondering what it is with the triad we have up here, religious science symbolizes spirit, soul, and body. So we've lit the spirit candle, and this is the soul part of us. And of course, in that time of soul, we need to have the quiet and the silence, the time to reflect, to contemplate, and to rest from our daily activities. Roaming the fields of green allows us to reach higher and dream deeper. We know our souls will lead us on. It is our inner voice, and by trusting what we know and where we are and where we are being led is always perfect. Our souls are nurtured and fed by taking pleasure in the beauty of this world. And we are fed by music and art and craft and inspiration and every experience. And we know that we are filled with a gift for the soul. The stable is a place where we sometimes land that is inconvenient, not very comfortable, lacking in amenities, and forces us to go deeper into ourselves to find out what it is that we're yearning for in expression. Stables are filled with unpleasant aromas, animal smells, and fresh surprises. Being in a... Am I the only one that grew up in a farm? Being in a stable experience awakens us up and makes us pay attention to what is around us. It grounds us in ways that make sure that we remember what the roots that are in our memories. And sometimes it is the state of our own wilderness experience, but it is always a place where we create to complete or start a process. Each one of us has a star, something that will make us look up and compel us into our next adventure. The three wise men are all inside of us, and we too bring to our lives gold, circumstance, and mud. Now the trick is, how can we use the mud in the circumstance and turn it into gold? Now, it takes perseverance, diligence, and patience. And the question is, what are your three wise aspects of God that can assist you in living life to the fullest? And of course, we all have a Herod in our lives, someone who is all-powerful, demanding, authoritative. And we all have someone who wants to tell us what to do for our best interests, or maybe just to tell us for the sake of telling us. Now, we can use these three wise men within us to listen, to go on a journey, and then decide what is best in the circumstance. And, of course, angels are the ideas we get in our lives, and sometimes they are great gifts. We have to ask not how many gifts life refuses us, but how many gifts we are able to accept in life. All of life is a gift, including the things we create to wake us up, to alert us, to make us aware of more in our lives. Now, many of us have to venture out into the wilderness to clarify what it is that we want to experience in our lives. We use the solitude to birth a new experience, to grow an experience, and sometimes escape an experience. Joseph, I'm deeply sure, questioned what he was doing with Mary as he was trekking across the desert into Egypt. Like, what have I gotten myself into, and how can I get myself out of this gracefully? He was using the trek to escape King Herod. Now, we all know that it's useless to run from anything. It usually follows us, and wherever we go, and usually gets our attention by biting us in the posterior region of our bodies. Can you tell where I was going? Just a little bit. Our monsters usually shrink in the light of day and appear to be much smaller when we take a look at what it is that's going on. Now, we need all of the angels from on high to help us see a higher vision for ourselves so that we can envision something bigger, something better, something grander than ever before. And once we have received that knowledge of wisdom, it is our responsibility then to pass it on, to become an angel for someone else. And my challenge to you is to do so without fanfare, cheerfully, and with graciousness. So this is our body candle, and it's for us to recognize that we need all of the aspects within us to live fully. We celebrate the holiness within us, and we allow the God within us to be expressed in a new and different way from this time forward. We allow everything that is great and good to be expressed in our lives all the time. And each one of us has the capacity to create our lives in a greater, grander scale. We can use this time to step into our spiritual selves and imagine that we are God expressing, and how would we show up in life if we allowed all of the aspects of God to be expressed within us? And how much more of the gift of life can we accept? Woodrow Wilson tells us that we are here to enrich the world, and we impoverish ourselves if we forget this errand. Now, we need to have mercy, compassion, acceptance for ourselves as well as others. This is a time when we can experience and embrace the deep mystery of our lives as we allow the symbols of the season to enrich and enhance our lives. It is time for, again, to recognize the divinity within them, in ourselves, and that all is here. That means to allow spirit free flow in our lives. My experience has been that each time that I partner with God in something that I feel is impossible in my life, I have always been surprised and delighted. Allow spirit to surprise and delight you this holiday. Look for the magic, look for the light, and look for the miracle that represents it for you. So, as we go into our time of offering, let us think about the gifts of spirit. We are reminded that everything we do affects our entire planet. Just one moment of open-hearted allowing, and the earth is transformed. It is a time of heaven within us, and we are honored guests at the table of life. And as our consciousness dictates our prosperity, I invite you to take this opportunity to increase your receiving by first increasing your giving. We are building a lasting legacy, one that reaches generations beyond our comprehension, and so let us all give generously because of it. So repeat with me, please. Divine love,
divine love,
through me blesses,
through me blesses,
and multiplies all that I am,
and multiplies all that I am,
all that I give,
all that I give,
and all that I receive.
And all I receive.
And so it is. The process is that each one of you is going to come up and take a candle. You get to have your choice of selecting from the spirit, soul, or body candle. Eric is going to assist you in holding it or placing it into the sand, and he's going to make sure that it's placed very firmly. So, one by one, come on up. That was very nice. So, let us join together in a consciousness of joy and peace, renewed well-being as we rest in the energy and the power and life of this universe that we call God. And let us take this moment to unite with this living spirit of God and allow its radiance to purify and perfect all of what we are as it flows through us in every area of our lives. I proclaim for each of us a glorious experience of God during this time of celebration of the birth of the highest consciousness within us. I know for each one of us that we find exactly what it is that we're yearning for and looking for, and we find it in our holiday gathering. I affirm for each of us that as we open up to the gift that we have for ourselves as well as for others, and I propose for each of us a renewing and a renewal into our highest consciousness as we create our holiday experience and then create our experience for the new year. I know each one of us is immersed in the greatest miracle of our lives as we affirm our intention and the capacity of God into our own evolution of life. Grateful to know that our spirits are lifted in great anticipation, excitement, and enthusiasm. I declare our holiday experience the very best for each of us. It is now established, and together we say, and so it is. Amen. So Emmanuel tells us that there is no one way to live your life. There is only the step-by-step adventure with no knowable distant plan. When one is saying yes, it does not matter upon what foot rests at the steps of completion. Wherever it is, it will be the perfect place to say yes again to God and to life. So in saying yes to God, we open up for a greater blessing than ever before. And together we say, and so it is.